The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Hello, welcome into the latest edition of ESPN SC. I'm Dan Thomas, joined by Ali Moreno here in the studio. Later on the program, we've got an exclusive interview with Christian Pulisic.
Hey,
but
hey.
We kick things off talking about the future of Robert Lewandowski, of course, heavily linked to a move to Barcelona. This is what their president had to say. Joan Laporta coming out and saying, I have nothing to say on the Lewandowski deal. I'm not going to comment on this negotiation. We have to respect Bayern. Bayern have not responded to our proposal yet, but I won't say more. I am so sorry. Well, let's see if Craig and Gemma are going to say any more. Gemma, let's start with you. This is going to happen, isn't it?
Hola, Dan. Yes, this is going to happen. Joan Laporta didn't want to talk about that because he was presenting another player, Rafinha, earlier today. But the deal is very close. We could be talking about a principle of agreement tomorrow. This way the player doesn't have to show up to Bayern's presentation. This could be something complicated for the player, for the club, for the supporters if he's there, and it could be really uncomfortable. And we could be talking about an officiality on Monday, probably. We don't know the numbers yet. Joan Laporta himself, Barcelona always talked about 40 million, but the agreement is really close. Bayern asked much more than that, about 55. We could be talking about a number close to 50 million. So this is really close. This could be happening at any time, but it can go very far because tomorrow Bayern has his official presentation and on Monday they go to the US tour, so this could be, it should be solved in the next hours then.
This deal seems to make sense, Craig, adding to more attacking players that Barcelona have now within the squad.
Yeah, do you think if Xavi asks him to do press-ups, he'll do them?
If he loses.
Watching yesterday's show, it reminded me of that time when Stevie threw all his toys out the pram a few years ago in the show, and I went like a big baby. So it's clear he was trying every trick and just trying to make a show that he didn't really want to be there. And his body language, I heard you guys talking about it yesterday. But, you know, I think a little bit unprofessional, but I think they will get a professional player, Barcelona, when they get him, and they won't get one that's just over the hill yet. But he's not that far off it, you know, in terms of his age, so it's not going to be a big, long period you're going to get of him at the top of his game, but you're going to get a good couple of years out of him. So, yeah, if you want to hunt down Real Madrid and you want to appease your fans and you want to finish all that good playoff, this pretty much makes sense.
I'm sure Memphis Depay's delighted.
Sure he is.
Who's the front three?
Well, it is crowded now.
Yeah.
Where perhaps they didn't quite have that many options in the transition from Lionel Messi to Ronald Koeman to then Xavi. Now, all of a sudden, it got crowded. I would assume that Dembele starts on the right-hand side, Lewandowski down the middle, and Ferran Torres down the left. Rafinha as an option off the bench for Dembele or Ferran Torres. I think the importance of Ferran Torres, it is because he likes to tuck inside and becomes almost a second striker, in this case, in and around Lewandowski. That would be my front
What about Ansu Fati? Where does he fit into it?
Ansu Fati has to prove that he can recover from his injuries and can become the player that we thought he would be. He will not get the starting nod right away. He will get opportunities. And if indeed he showcases the talent that he has shown early on in his career, then perhaps he gives a run to Ferran Torres. But until then, Ansu Fati is coming off the bench.
Lewandowski joining Barcelona, Craig. Does that make them La Liga favourites in your eyes?
No, not really. And as you said, Memphis Depay, what about poor old Aubameyang?
Yes.
he leaves Arsenal. But I'm going to play for Barcelona, lads, and they're signing Lewandowski. I might be back on the bench. No, look, at the end of the day, Real Madrid were champions for a reason. Karim Benzema is unlikely to lose that form. Yeah, I mean, they've not been big in the transfer market at this moment in time, which is a bit of a concern when you've had such a successful season, winning La Liga, winning the Champions League. It's a great time to really beef up the squad, particularly in those front positions. But no, not quite. I still think, obviously, Real Madrid are the team to beat. Experienced manager, players love playing for him. Not the biggest squad. That's the one worry, particularly in the attacking positions and this amazing resurgence. I know we're going to talk about it, of Eden Hazard. That's a pipe dream, in my opinion. So, yeah, back up to Benzema, I think would be ideal.
Gemma, Barcelona fans looking at that attacking lineup, of course, they'll be wetting their lips looking at the prospect of all these players playing together. Is it a case now for them they have to win La Liga this season?
They have to compete. They have to compete. And this is something they haven't been able to do since Lionel Messi left the team and probably the previous season as well. The big problem with Barcelona this season is that they didn't have goal. They didn't have enough quality in the final third. They couldn't end product. Now they have to. They are forced to do that. And Xavi needs to prove something, because I can promise you, neither Joan Laporta, neither Mateo Alemany, Jordi Cruyff, the big guys in the sport direction, they didn't want Ousmane Dembélé. They said he needs to go. He has to go. He has to sit in the stands, and Xavi forced them to make him stay. They bring Xavi Rafinha, they will be bringing Lewandowski. We'll see what happens with Aubameyang. What happens, of course, with Ansu Fati? It's of course making us doubt a little bit. But now they have goal, so they need to manage this team to work and to make a team and at least to be able to compete. I wouldn't say that, because Real Madrid, I mean, they are defending champions of La Liga, defending champions in the Champions League, and I think they have the best attack in La Liga, even though Lewandowski is joining Barcelona with Benzema, Vinicius, Rodrigo, with all these players. They have probably one of the best midfields with Kroos and Modric, and the best goalkeepers. So saying that Barcelona are forced to win La Liga, I wouldn't say much, but at least they have to compete until the last match days.
Let's have a look at the Champions League odds and where Barcelona stand looking to make a run and try and emulate what Real Madrid did last season. They currently sit... What? Real Madrid are 12... That's extraordinary, isn't it? I've just seen that. So what, Barcelona's seventh favourites? I tell you, look at Chelsea. I wouldn't have Chelsea up that high.
No, and we don't quite know, okay, if Robert Lewandowski is walking out the door in Bayern Munich,
yeah,
then who's stepping in and taking that position to score the goals? Or are we saying that Sadio Mane is going to become that guy? Or are we saying that Leroy Sané is hanging around and is going to become that guy? Or Serge Gnabry is going to take on the responsibility of scoring goals for Bayern Munich? It's a big hole that Robert Lewandowski is leaving at Bayern Munich. I think Bayern Munich is a little too high. Barcelona jumps up in the list, and certainly Real Madrid should be at top of this list, because, mind you, not only are they the defending champions, I can make the argument that they've gotten stronger.
Yeah.
That bringing Rudiger makes them stronger, makes them better in the back line. That bringing in Tchouaméni gives them depth in the midfield, something that perhaps they didn't have as much as they would have wanted. And so you have now the idea of Camavinga, you have the idea of Fede Valverde as an option to Kroos and Modric and Casemiro. I think they're deeper and stronger now. But the one position that I'm concerned, and Craig just mentioned it, is the backup to Karim Benzema. Right. Because if he goes down injured, then everything seems to collapse for Real Madrid. And we saw it last season. When he wasn't around, this was a different team. So you need a credible player, a credible threat in that position that can, at the very least, rest Benzema every once in a while. A player that can do the job. Not somebody who's going to carry the team, but that can actually do the job. And they don't have that player right now.
Barca's seventh favourites, Craig?
For what?
Champions League.
Oh, that list was bonkers. Freaking ignore it. I mean, Chelsea ahead of Real Madrid. I mean, come on. I mean, how the pilot spent. What were we talking about? I've lost track here. I don't know. You know, the other concern is middle of the park. Busquets is, you know, he's got a lot of miles in those legs.
Yeah.
And then if De Jong goes, and that changes by the day, who the hell knows what's going on? What's the middle of the park going to be? I know Pedri's, and I know the stats say when Pedri's playing, he is one of the most, you know, artistic players for Barcelona. He's one of the biggest driving forces, even as a youngster. All the stats will tell you that. But you still need other players around about him, so the middle of the park would be a worry for me. But yeah, I don't know. And defensively as well, Ali mentioned, you know, Rudiger going in there at Real Madrid, that's strengthening that, no doubt. What are Barca doing? Still relying on Piqué. Umtiti's still there, who hasn't been fancied. So, no, I wouldn't say so. I mean, it's looking a little bit imbalanced at the moment, I would say, Barcelona. It just seems to be, get me Rafinha, get me Lewandowski. And if they ditch De Jong on Xavi, if he wants rid of him, they have to make sure they're bringing other midfielders in, because I do think they could be short in that position.
You mentioned De Jong, contrasting statements from those at the top of Barcelona about the future of the Dutchman, of course, heavily linked to Manchester United. And Mathieu Armeni, who is the Barca sporting director, said, Frankie is a very important player and we count on him.
Aha!
But we know La Liga's fair play tells us to sell players.
Oh, wait a minute.
I can't say more. And then Joan Laporta, the president, came out, slightly contradicted that, saying, it's not true that we're forced to sell Frankie De Jong. This is not correct. Gemma, basically, they would love to sell him, wouldn't they? They'd love to cash in on him, but he's not making it easy.
Yeah, well, they are playing their cards. They cannot say, yes, yes, we need to sell him. Actually, the numbers right now tell us that they need to sell Frankie de Jong to be able to inscribe, because, yeah, they have signed them, but they are not inscribed yet, Kessie, Christensen and Sergio Roberto. They need De Jong and to only be able to inscribe these three players. Of course, we are pending on another sleeve, the famous palancas in Spanish. They will be sending 15% more TV rights, and this will give them more fair play and more balance to be able to write players. But the magic doesn't happen. So we were very surprised earlier today when Laporta said that. We don't need to sell him, but of course we are playing. This is business, this is negotiations, and they cannot tell Man United, oh, please buy this player. So he's going to the US tour, but they will be talking. They are holding direct talks with Man United, and they want to sell. They need to sell, even though they won't say it in public.
What a complete and utter mess that just seems to be continuing at Barcelona. They've really learned their lesson, it seems. Meanwhile, for Real Madrid, it's been a quiet summer so far. Carlo Ancelotti talking about Eden Hazard. We're not going to sign anyone. We're fine as we are. We have a lot of options.
What?
The number nine position, Benzema is first choice, but we have to understand that it will be a strange, different season with the World Cup in between, and we have to look at different options. My idea is to try to see Eden Hazard in that position. Given the quality that Eden has, it could be good for us to try him there. There you are, Craig. Eden Hazard is the solution to Real Madrid's problems if anything happens to Benzema.
Yeah, only if he comes out in a puff of smoke. and Carlo Ancelotti's the magician. I mean, give Macker a phone. Give McManaman a phone. He'll make a comeback.
Yeah.
You might as well go and get Gareth Bale back. I mean, watch it. Come on. Come on. That ship has sailed. I don't care if he's coming back £10 lighter or what. It's too far down the line for me, his performances, his, in truth, lack of desire going into one of the biggest clubs in the world and coming back in the shape he came back a couple of years ago. Just smack to me that, well, I've got my move. I've got the money in the bank. Got it all now, thanks very much. I don't need to go and really take this team on my shoulders like most of the real big hitters at Real Madrid have done. They've got all the money. They've got, you know, Karim Benzema last year could have sauntered around the field doing what he wanted, because he's been there, seen it and done it all. But he still has that desire to score goals, to help his team, to work and to be a better Benzema than he was, say, 2 or 3 years ago at 34. And this guy had that chance and it passed him by through his own fault, mainly. And I know he's had one or two injuries, but that kind of, you know, that kind of comes about through the lack of fitness. And so I just don't think you can switch on the light at this time in your career at such a big club and say, oh, Karim Benzema's out, Eden Hazard, we're going to use him as a backup. We all saw, Dan, his performances last year. He was lucky to make the bench at Real Madrid. Let's be quite frank about that. He was only on the bench to make up the numbers. Ancelotti wouldn't even bring him on at the end of the season unless he absolutely had to. So this is a worry if Karim Benzema gets injured, because last year he went through them all, didn't he? Bale, Isco. Mm-hmm. Asensio had a better season to an extent than all those other guys. And even Hazard, Jovic. He tried them all and he looked at them all when Benzema was injured and he thought, if we don't get this guy back, we're screwed. Yeah. And it's no different.
Yeah, you think El Clasico epitomised that, didn't it? The Bernabeu, Barcelona go there, absolutely thrash Real Madrid. But, of course, no Benzema.
Yep.
He has said, though, Hazard is in. He's the fittest he's ever been in Spain.
Well, OK, the bar was very low there. Very, very, very low. This would be the literal definition of a false number nine.
Yeah.
Like, literally, this is false number nine. As in a player that would have no business in playing the position. And the way that we have seen in Hazard when he's on the field with Real Madrid, he refuses to run away from the ball, to get in behind, to go in 1v1 situations. The things that he did naturally with Chelsea, he refuses to do that now. What does he do now? He comes to the ball all the time, trying to get one and two touches, never facing up, never getting after the defenders. He would be no goal threat whatsoever playing as a focal point in the attack, because every defender would say, he's not going to get in behind. I'll keep him in front of me. He's just going to play the ball backwards. Easy to defend, predictable.
And of course, Gemma, now he doesn't have Gareth Bale as like kind of Captain Deflecto. Oh, look at this guy. The attention's going to be more on it. Because let's face it, like the Real Madrid supporters obviously frustrated by Hazard, but Bale was kind of the perfect pantomime baddie. He's now gone.
Yeah, because at least Hazard has been a professional and not like Gareth Bale. Actually, you know, when we were reading that headlines of Carlo Ancelotti, I had a memory because I've seen that movie. I remember the preseason last year, Carlo Ancelotti, he said almost the same. He was very optimistic about Gareth Bale. He said he was sure he could be a great partner of Benzema, and he was sure he could recover Gareth Bale. We know how this story ends. You know, just before the year before Hazard signed for Real Madrid, 2018, there was a TV show here in Spain. They worked about how the big data is being implemented in football, and they did a research, and they said that Eden Hazard was the closest player to Lionel Messi. So there's some kind of sense that Ancelotti is saying I could use him as a false nine, but I think we're talking about that Eden Hazard in 2018, just before being in Spain. Of course, there is a big change because the previous pre-seasons we were talking about headlines where Eden Hazard was unfit, a little bit too far, a little bit too slow. So now it's true that he's more fit, the extremely motivated. I'm an optimistic as well. I would love to see that Eden Hazard we saw in the Premier League in Spain. But I have to be with you. I think it's extremely difficult. But let's see.
He's fit and ready to go, Craig. Come on.
Yeah. Do you know what brushes over some of this for? Luckily, I think for Eden Hazard is success.
Yeah, of course.
The fact that. You know, Ancelotti goes in there and they have a great season. Barcelona obviously fell over themselves. Atletico Madrid had a terrible season. But they were consistent, without being great all the time, but consistent. And then they go and win the Champions League that nobody thought was going to happen. If they'd had a horrendous domestic season and were knocked out of the Champions League early, then the real whistles and the boos and the pressure goes on Eden Hazard. But do you know what? I think, as Gemma said, Gareth Bale brought those criticisms and attacks on himself. He snuck under the radar. I think Real Madrid fans are just like, do you know what? We'll do without this guy. But if things turn sour for them, then maybe they have a few more eyeballs on him. So in some sense, he's kind of got away with it, particularly for the last 18 months or so.
To the point of the true level of Eden Hazard currently, he was never, ever
even close to making an appearance in Champions League final. He was never an option. Mm. So while Carlo Ancelotti looked down the bench, there were many players that were first choice ahead of Eden Hazard, and second choice, and third choice, and fourth choice. And Eden Hazard is just down there by the end of the bench, and he was never going to come off that bench in Champions League final. It tells you very clearly what Carlo Ancelotti truly believes Eden Hazard can give him on the field.
Yeah, but he's fit now. He's ready to go.
All right, good. I believe.
We'll say thank you very much to Gemma. Just a reminder to keep up to date with all the latest La Liga transfer news. Be sure to go over to Transfer Talk over on the website. Of course, La Liga once again will be on ESPN in the upcoming season. Every single match available on ESPN+. Plus, will Eden Hazard start for Real Madrid as they defend their title? They kick things off away against Almeria. And who knows, we'll be playing up front, at the back, anywhere for Barcelona. Their opening game is at the Camp Nou against Rayo Vallecano.
Did you know less than 10% of Americans own an e-bike? Here's why that should change. Studies show e-bike owners actually end up exercising more, plus getting outside more. If you're looking for a balanced lifestyle and everyday adventures, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes. They are the number one selling e-bike brand in America. Their bikes are typically foldable, pre-assembled, and have serious range up to 150 miles on some models. Check them out today at electricebikes.com and add some more adventure to your week. That's lectricebikes.com. Passion, drive and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights and more. Whether you're into speed, power or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Christian Pulisic then heading into his fourth season at Chelsea. And speaking ahead of the start of the new campaign, he sat down and spoke exclusively to Hercules Gomez.
So, here in the States, go to Europe, you're Borussia Dortmund, you meet Thomas Tuchel. You now play for him here at Chelsea. What's the evolution of your relationship with Thomas Tuchel been like?
Yeah, I mean, I think I started as a young 17-year-old kid who just needed to earn a spot in the professional soccer, in the sport. Being, you know, American over in Germany, it was very tough for me at the start, but he definitely gave me my opportunity, and you know, he clearly saw something in me, so I was really grateful for that. And then we had some, you know, some good moments together, some also tougher moments, and now being at Chelsea and him coming back, I think he's grown, you know, as a coach, and I've definitely grown as a player. So now it's about just trying to, yeah, find that relationship. And obviously, like you mentioned, I've had some good moments and some tougher moments, and I'm continuing to have to prove myself. And that's exactly what I'm going to do.
This is more my observation, but when I look at your relationship with Thomas Tuchel, sometimes I think it's very difficult for a player to break that pattern with a coach. I mean, he saw you at such a young age. Do you think sometimes he still sees you as that kid?
Could be. I guess you'd have to ask him. I think that's not who I am anymore. I mean, I think he knows I've grown a lot as a player. There's no doubt. I think I have grown a lot, and that's not how I want him to view me. I want him to view me as the player I am now. So I'm just going to continue just improving, which I feel I have, and just showing him why I deserve to be on the field as much as I can.
Well, you're on a world-class team right now. Let's talk about this world-class team. Lots of chatter. Raheem Sterling's in. Talk to me about the quality of transfer he is and maybe how that impacts you and your vying for more time.
I mean, yeah, great quality in Raheem, so we're really excited about it. I mean, the beautiful thing about being at a club like this is the competition every single day. And we all thrive competing with each other, you know, in training. And just getting to play with each other, it's just another great addition to the team. And it doesn't change a whole lot. I'm still going to have to you know, play hard and earn my position, just like I did before. Nothing crazy has changed. This is Chelsea. This is what you know, what you sign up for, this is the kind of club it is with the caliber of players that we have.
Talk to me about the new American ownership at Chelsea and what type of impact that's had on you guys already and you think will have on the team.
I think they've come in and done a really good job in the way that they've spoken with the players and staff, and just wanting to use that same, you know, Chelsea mentality, that winning mentality, but also kind of bringing their, you know, American ways, some of their business ways, and how they bring in and kind of incorporate that into this team. And I mean, on the day-to-day and in the way we train and play, it doesn't change a whole lot, but I think they've done a great job so far, and I think the guys are really enjoying it thus far.
Craig's still with us. Don joins us as well. Don, what struck you in what Pulisic said to Herc there?
Do you know what? I think he's a fascinating character. I think what I see from the relationship with Thomas Tuchel and Christian Pulisic is it looks like a father-son relationship, where I think Thomas Tuchel sometimes wants to strangle him and sometimes he wants to shake him and he wants to shake his personality. And I said this a couple of years ago. You guys laughed, understandably so, and I said he's quite shy, introvert. I still think he's that player at 23. I want to see him come out of his shell. I want to see him turn around in an interview and turn around and go, no, I'm going to back myself. And he's so nice. He talks about the qualities of Raheem Sterling. He talks about the qualities of everyone else. Well, I think Thomas Tuchel's probably looking at him because he knows him well. And he's probably saying, listen, technique-wise, you've got it. But can you stay fit? Do you really, really want it? Are you going to show me on a daily basis that you should be in the team? When you're in the team, are you going to be ruthless enough to not let anyone take your shirt? I just think he's so laid back and so casual. I think if he plays well. If he doesn't, oh, there's another day. And I think that's what must frustrate Thomas Tuchel the most. That's what I see when I watch him, because we all know he's a fantastic player and a brilliant talent. But I want to see him. I want to see him do more, and I want to see him probably demand a little bit more from himself.
Craig, like yourself, is he just too nice?
Well, believe it or not, I was very quiet when I went to London when I was 16. So, you know, quit your smart aleck comments. And I had to come out of my shell. So you do have to do it, but people do it in a certain way and different ways. A couple of things I took. One was what Herc said, and the other one was how he answered one of Herc's questions. And maybe he just didn't articulate it very well, but kind of worrying that when he said, do you think he still views you as this 17-year-old, and he went, Thomas Tuchel, that is, and he went, well, maybe. Well, I think that's nonsense, because every manager is in the business of what can you do for me now? Hmm. Not what were you doing for me 5 or 6 years ago, but what can you do for me now as an adult, as an experienced international player? And I think that's the only thing Thomas Tuchel is interested in. And I think a lot of American fans that watch the Premier League and Chelsea and get frustrated, and a lot of them have an amazing paranoia complex, but it boils down to one thing, is consistency, fitness, and what Tuchel thinks he can do for him. The other thing was, just briefly, when Herc said you're in a world-class team, he's not. They haven't won the league for years. They were almost 20 points off the top last year, so they're a good team, but they're not world-class. Yeah, they won
the
Champions
League. They are world champions, though, Craig.
Yeah, listen, I've just seen the club World Cup blow above my house away in the distance. It's filled with freaking helium. So, no, I mean, at the end of the day, people have to get their head around, and I think he has, as himself, as a player, as a person. But other people have to get their head around, it's what he does on the field will determine whether he starts in the game or not. Not where he came from, not what he did for Thomas Tuchel when he was 17 or 18, but what he does for this manager and this club now.
The fact that Chelsea go out and get Raheem Sterling, if I'm Christian Pulisic, I take that as a personal shot, as a challenge for myself. This guy is going to play the same position that I could play and have been playing for this team. And yet they went out there and got him. If there was ever any motivation for Christian Pulisic to show up every training session,
show up consistently on the weekend. To be the best version of himself is right now.
Right.
This is the moment. So if it is about competition, you have competition around you. This is a moment in which you have to be able to take a hold of the position and say, this is mine and I'm not letting go. You're going to have to make a decision about everybody else, but not me, because I'm going to show you. Just to prove myself. Never mind us. Never mind Hercules and his questions or anybody else. No. Myself, this is about me, and I'm being challenged. Can I rise up to that challenge? But in order for him to give himself a real opportunity to rise up to that challenge, he has to be fit. He has to be healthy. He has to stay on the field. And if I were to point out at something that has been an issue for Christian Pulisic consistently with Chelsea, is that he's not always out there. And that's a problem, because you can't compete if you're sitting out with an injury. You can't challenge yourself if you're sitting out with an injury. If you want to get a hold of that position, you have to stay healthy.
Is it do or die for him this season, Don?
I think so. And I was watching a documentary about Steven Gerrard talking about what he was like when he got his breakthrough. And his words were, he went, when I got in the team, when I got my shirt, I'd step on anyone and no one was going to take that shirt off me. So that's the attitude Christian Pulisic's got to have this season. The list of players that you just put up there, there's some good players. And he's probably better than most on his day. So this season now, with Raheem Sterling, who's going to start every single game, he's got to knock on the manager's door. He's got to impress in pre-season. He's got to stay fit. That's the number one. That's his priority. Stay fit. Then once you get in the team, whether it's in a starting berth or you come off the bench, it might take a little bit of time. But have the conversation with Thomas Tuchel, because he obviously knows him well enough now. You know, he's been at Dortmund, been at Chelsea. He's played under him for a fair few years. He's confident enough to have that conversation with the manager and say, right, this is it. I might have been a little bit immature in the past, but this is it. This is my breakthrough this season. Trust me. Just trust me and I will deliver. But he has to deliver when he gets the chance.
Obviously, they've added Sterling, Craig, but are they going to be all right for goals this season, Chelsea? Where are they going to come from?
The answer is no. I mean, there's a reason they went out and brought a frontline striker in last year. Okay, it didn't work, but they thought they were getting somebody that was going to replicate his form of Serie A. It didn't happen, but they did that for a reason. You can't rely on Havertz. You can't rely on Ziyech. You can't rely on Pulisic. You can rely on Sterling to a certain degree, but he's not, and his stats will back that up, but then he's not playing in a team as prolific as Man City. They're a tier down from Man City at the moment. There's no getting away from that. They are not at the level City are or Liverpool. So will he get the same amount of chances? You know, Timo Werner, you wouldn't put your house on him. If he goes through and goal six or seven times, he's lucky if he's getting a couple of goals out of that, maybe one. So they still need somebody in that position, in my opinion. And again, I've heard it all. You know, he's going to rotate a bit more and he's going to have a different style and do all this. There's a reason Real Madrid was successful. There's a reason City went out and got Haaland. There's a reason United are looking for a striker. And there's a reason Barcelona and Bayern Munich have had... Well, Barcelona chasing Lewandowski as we speak, and Bayern Munich have been trying to keep hold of him. Because, guys, you know, the old-fashioned striker is not out of fashion. Just because one or two clubs think they can, you know, cut the cloth by playing for a season without a striker, doesn't mean it's going to last. And I think Chelsea, if they don't sort that position out, will be more frustrated, or as frustrated as they were last year, because for all that good play at times, you got to have somebody to stick it in the back of the net, somebody who's prolific.
It needs addressing, doesn't it, Don?
It does, and I just wonder what they might do in that situation. I was just thinking there, as Craig was giving his answer, I thought, well, I wonder what sort of players they might go for, because they're not going to get the likes of Lewandowski. They've had Lukaku in, that didn't work, so they are a different side. So you wonder if it might be someone a little bit left field, someone like a Danny Ings who might be willing to sit on the bench, but, you know, guarantee the numbers. Someone like a Wilson at Newcastle that, again, will sit on the bench, but guarantee when he plays, he'll score the goals. And are happy to sort of come off the bench and be that type of player, because is a main striker, a big name striker that everyone sort of wants and everyone sort of churning for, if you like. At Chelsea, I don't see it working at this present time. So when you put that team up there of what Chelsea might be doing...
Why doesn't it work, Don? Why can't you put Lewandowski up top? Why wouldn't that work?
Well, it obviously would with him because he's a prolific striker and he's known. But the way Lukaku, I mean, Lukaku was a multitude of problems you know, he wasn't quite fit enough at the start of the season. He should have been. Then he'd done that horrific interview. He fell out with the fans. He lost his self-confidence. Couldn't score a goal. Couldn't then get in the team. Had to sort of build bridges. Everything was just too much for him. I'm not even sure he wanted to be there in the first place. So you get a class striker like Lewandowski, and of course he'll hit the numbers because his attitude's spot on, and his goal tally over the years will tell you he'll score goals. But when you look at what Chelsea actually do, I mean, their main assisters are their wing-backs. Their main assisters doesn't come from, like, you know, Ziyech up top or Hudson-Odoi or their sort of the guys at the top end of the pitch that should be. It comes from a little bit deep. Well, N'Golo Kante doesn't really score too many goals, doesn't get assists. You know, same as Kovacic in the middle of the park, not over sort of 10 goals and assists every single season. So what I'm probably seeing from Chelsea this season, if they bring the likes of Koulibaly in and maybe just Koundé, is you might be looking at a team that be grinding out 1-0 wins or 2-0, 2-1 wins. They're not going to be prolific. And with this team so far, they're not going to score bundles of goals.
You mentioned Koulibaly coming in, Don. Obviously, you've seen a lot of him at Napoli. Is he still as good as he was, say, a couple of years ago?
Dan, he's one of the best in the world, trust me. This guy, I think he's incredible. And he could play a game, and we all talk about the modern-day players who are leaders and they shout and they lead by example. This guy could play a 90-minute game and not say a word to anyone. His feet are brilliant. He's got a passing range like Van Dijk. He's got fantastic vision. He's strong. He's 6'4". You can't knock him off the ball. He's old school. He'll win his headers. He's brave. He leads. He's incredibly, you know, he's talented, but he's one of these players where you just think, what a rock. Like, incredibly. I mean, he's great service to Napoli. He's been there for 8 years. And how someone of the Barca's and the Real Madrid's and the gigantic football clubs have never bought him or never tried to prize him away, I will never know, because I've been watching him for quite a few years, Dan. He is an incredible footballer, one of the best in the world, easily.
Meanwhile, we've talked a lot about Manchester United and what's been going on for them over the last few weeks. They've been quite quiet, haven't they, in the transfer window. How are they confirmed today? Christian Eriksen has joined United. Craig, does he start?
No, I don't think he does at the moment. But, you know, if Bruno Fernandes has another one of these up-and-down, petulant, complaining seasons, then he's an able replacement, a more than able replacement, in any of those positions. And I just think this is great business for your squad. You know, decent wage, free transfer, very experienced player, lots still to prove, you know, has come through an awful lot and will be thankful just to be playing. And he still has a great quality. Don't forget he's still a regular in the Danish side. So I think it's just a great bit of business in beefing up your squad, but it's sort of just hiding over the other problems at the moment. I think United's big problem, or one of the problems, is not who they're bringing in, but what the hell's going to happen with Ronaldo. This sort of rock is hanging around Ten Hag's neck about what can he play if he stays, is he going to be, or is he going to try and force this move? But in terms of Eriksen, you know, beefing up a squad with a real, real quality player, I think it's fantastic business for Man United.
You agree, Don?
I do, and I think also as well, when you lose the likes of Juan Mata and Nemanja Matic, you're bringing a guy in with an exceptional attitude. You know, for the young ones like Elanga and Marcus Rashford and Jadon Sancho, when they see this guy train and how he looks after himself and conducts himself, I think Erik ten Hag has made a very, very smart signing for the dressing room, for sure.
A new lease on life for Christian Eriksen. That gives perspective. That gives you a different profile when you walk into that locker room. We all watched it. We all saw it. Mm-hmm. Everybody knows about this story. You walk into that locker room. I think you have a lot of leverage and equity with the other players. If you want to share your experiences, if you want to have the young players gravitate towards you, I think that's going to happen naturally, because I think players appreciate what Christian Eriksen has gone through.
We'll say thank you very much to Don and Craig. However, it is an extra time for the ages, and I can tell you that now. Be sure to check that out over on our YouTube channel. We're driven by the search for better, but when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/FC. Just go to Indeed.com/FC right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on the podcast. Indeed.com/FC, terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Big talking point from the Euros on Friday was Austria beating Norway by 1-0 to book a place in the knockout stages. For more on this, let's join Kay, Steffi and Emma.
Thank you, Dan. England through, as we knew. Lots of goals still in that game against Northern Ireland. But the big story of the day has been that Austria-Norway game. Myself, Steffi and Emma here to break it all down for you. Lots of things to talk about. I mean, we'll start with the good. Austria getting a win here. Steffi, they'll face your Germany next. Germany can't take them lightly, can they?
They won't. They know each other from the German league also. They've played several times against each other. I would say this is going to be a very interesting game because Austria is really compact in the defense. They will make it narrow for the German team. And then they will go for their strikes with Bila up top.
I agree with Steffi. Fascinating battle. One which, of course, we expect Germany to dominate, but I don't think it's straightforward.
No, they're looking good, though, Austria, aren't they, Emma? We're just seeing...
deserving of everything. I know we've been talking about Norway and everything, but I think we need to give the credit to Austria. I think most of us thought that Norway would come through that. I thought they dispatched of them quite easily with their performance today and thoroughly deserve to be where they are.
All right. Let's talk about Norway then, shall we? How much of a wake-up call is this? They're out at the group stage again in the Euros.
Yeah, I mean... that's an understatement. This is a wake up to the Federation. There's a lack of investment, I think, that's gone in to the national team programme, to the league, etc. And I think these standings are indicative of that lack of investment. So it's a huge moment for Norway.
It really is. And you see, Ada Hegerberg had just come back for this tournament. She left the national setup. Yes, there were a few other reasons behind the scenes, but one of the main reasons back in 2017 was she was upset with how things were behind the scenes. He didn't feel that women's football was supported enough in Norway. Surely, as we're just saying here, this has got to be an even bigger kick up the backside for them.
Oh, yes. Well, it should be. I mean, after you're losing 8-0 and then you're showing this kind of knockout again, I would say that it needs more invest and like... Germany, I mean, you have to form something new now. It's been, you were saying 2017. Why haven't it changed since then? I mean, now is for sure the time to...
It's the lack of depth.
Change it.
It's the lack of depth. I mean, listen, they've got top players in that starting 11, but so many of those top players aren't playing week in, week out for their clubs, and I think that's hindered them. On top of that, they just haven't had the quality beyond, you know, that group of players that I think can progress any further. And that's because of the lack of quality in their league. This is largely amateur league, not a lot of professionals. And I think for that reason, it's why they're getting knocked out so early.
One of the problems for Austria has been a struggle to get more young girls getting interested in the women's game. Surely with what we've seen so far, that's going to be helping things, Steffi.
For sure. I mean, successful games help anyway, but so far I know they are doing a great job in showing and going into schools. And you have to go out there, you have to show that girls and women's football is a fantastic sport in this European Championship. Gets more role models out there.
Yep. And continuity from the World Cup. You can see this is no accident. They've built on success and they look pretty solid for it.
Austria making a splash. More action coming up tomorrow. But for now, back to you, Dan.
Kay, she's busy. She's going to be here tomorrow presenting, of course, as well as looking back at those games.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/network.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
That brings us to the end of today's show. Thank you very much for watching. Spoiler alert, we've already recorded Extra Time. Mm-hmm. And it's interesting.
Yes.
Yes.
Eclectic.
Eclectic is a very good word. Stay tuned. Welcome in then to the latest edition of Extra Time. Ali with me here in the studio. Craig's at home, as is Don. Don, did I see you taking part in a parents' race at sports there? Dad's race?
Correct.
How did you get on?
Second.
Oh,
with a little bit of cheating as well, by the way. With a little bit of cheating.
Oh dear. Who won?
There was a couple of younger dads next to me, and one of them had sprinter written all over him. But luckily for me, No, honestly, he was 6'4", he was young, he was ripped, and he just looked quick. He was one of them who just looked quick. And he's standing there, and it's like a 100-meter sort of track, straight line, and I'm thinking, I've got no chance. Like, I'll literally be happy with second or third, get on the podium. But then it was a sort of really strange race where you had to halfway down pick up a plastic cup, run to like a water bin, get water in your cup, run back, stick it in a little tube and try and fill it the fastest you can. So right. Somehow I snuck in at second.
I do like the way you suggest.
The trouble is, Don, when you're having kids at your age, they're all the dads are going to be younger anyway. What are you
exactly.
Hey, you've lost your way, lad. I remember the days when you'd have looked over at him and thought, I'm going to be 2 foot him halfway down.
Well, yeah, exactly. Take him out.
Do you appreciate the full breakdown by Don? He was 6'4", ripped.
Yeah.
He looked like a runner.
Yes.
And right away, he's saying to himself, I have no chance against this guy.
I've seen the video. He's 5'7". He's 5'7" and 40.
Hey, Don. I'm just surprised nobody come over to you. How many people were in the race?
8 or 9.
I'm just surprised nobody come over to you and say, excuse me, sir, you do realise it's parents, not grandparents.
Yeah, boom, true.
Boom, boom.
Craig, did you take part in parents' races at sports day?
Don't be daft.
He wouldn't do it, the Grinch. The Grinch wouldn't do it.
Why would I do that? I'd pull my hamstring, wouldn't I? My calf would go. No.
It's all part of the fun, man.
Oh, dear.
I get injured.
Got. Ali, who'll score more goals in La Liga? Lewandowski or Benzema?
This is a very, very good question.
Yeah.
I'm going to say Robert Lewandowski. I think there will be plenty of opportunities for him in a team that is heavily, heavily attack-minded, given the player personnel that is now available to Xavi. I'm going to say Lewandowski scores more goals, Real Madrid win La Liga.
Craig?
Well,
Lewandowski or Benzema, who's getting more goals?
Lewandowski.
What's in that frame behind you, Craig? Does it say joy?
What frame?
But there's writing in a frame behind you over your right shoulder. And it looks like it might say... I don't know, what does it say?
I don't know.
Well, look at it!
Here we go.
There we go. Uh-huh. Oh,
here we go.
Let's have a look. Just be you.
Oh, yes! Oh. Yes! 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 Inspirational words with Craig Burley. Yes.
This is a little room upstairs, and by the way, I didn't put that up.
No, but that's a surprise. It's a shock.
I've got these little notes written all around the house. Inspirational notes.
Yes, exactly. Keeps you going every day.
You do know that that's what Don was telling himself as he was about to start the race. Yeah. Just be you.
Just be you.
Just be you.
30 years ago, just be you.
I thought that was TV gold. Eh? I thought Craig was going to smash that. I did.
Well, have to clear up the mess.
My wife's sitting in the deck, just outside the window and down a story. So I could do if I dropped it out the window. But I'm not going to do that, obviously.
Okay, what's your ideal striker for Chelsea, Don?
What, just out of anyone?
Well, we haven't got Lewandowski. They're not going to go for Ronaldo. Someone who's available. He's going to say.
Uh-huh. The runner?
Well, you know, think I'm gonna probably going to say...
The Napoli striker who no one talks about.
No, I don't think so. Osimhen, who I love. Scamacca, who another one that I love. To be honest, Dan, I don't know because I don't know what type of centre-forward they're looking for. It might be Havertz, the player that they've got already, because we've seen what happened to Lukaku when he was flying, come in, played in a different system where they're a little bit more sideways, possession-based. All of a sudden, that might not suit a traditional number nine. So it's hard to see... If you bring Scamacca in or Osimhen in, that's not Osimhen's game. He's running in behind, he's dynamic, he wants the ball, he's very energetic, he's lively, so he might not succeed. So maybe it's just Kai Havertz.
Don, percentage chance that Tottenham will win a trophy.
Well, but this, yeah. I'm yeah, sure
just be you.
Tonight,
just be
I'm
you.
Like... Oh. What about me, Bake? Hey, what
are we
doing?
What's going on?
Where are the seats coming from?
Happening?
Wow.
It looks as reliable as Don's bike.
Is it like a travelator or something? Just bringing props in?
It's like a generation game.
Yeah. Goodly Tony. Mike.
I'll get more for you in a minute, don't worry.
Inspirational things.
Isn't that a big program in the UK that like traveling and they sell like older things and mementos and things that you may have had in your attic?
Yes, Cash in the Attic, it is called.
Okay.
Yes.
All right.
Oh. Thanks. You're well into data.
Well, let me just say.
Hey, data.
You need cash in the attic. I'm your guy.
How much is Craig getting for his bike?
Leave that bike. That's a classic.
Why would you have... What does that do, Craig? What's the point of it?
What? See these two little things here?
Yes.
They're holes.
Right.
And it just goes on the wall. It's a little... Hangs on the wall.
No, and see, off the wheels, Craig, you can hang stuff off the wheels.
Oh, what?
See?
Oh, yeah, there's hooks. There's hooks.
On the
I've
wheels.
Just seen the hooks. It's where you can put your bike helmet. Look, at the front, on the wheels.
Yeah. Yeah. You can hang, you know, you can hang all sorts of things here. It's very flexible. You can hang your dog lead. You can hang your jackets.
Beautiful. Yeah. That's quite a small jacket.
Well, you're quite a small man.
That's quite a small bike.
In fact, I think you would need stabilizers on this.
Do you think
bike,
so? Yeah. I need training wheels on there.
You'd need to if you were riding this, Dan, I think somehow you'd need to lower that seat a little bit.
Well, yes, I would not enjoy that seat anywhere near where I'd be riding.
What?
Right, Don, percentage chance that Tottenham win a trophy next season. I think running 42 pitch lengths in the third session of the day deserves something.
Well, Champions League, zilch. Premier League, zilch. So FA Cup, Carabao Cup.
Right.
It's going to be low.
10%?
10%. Got to be low.
Yeah.
What would we have done this week without Conte?
I know. He gave us a lot of material, didn't he, old Conte, and the runs, and Stevie getting angry and coughing his guts
up. I told Mike, the producer, after Monday's... After Stevie blew up on Monday, he wanted to talk about it on Tuesday again. I said, don't go there. I said, don't go there. He said, no, no, we'll just touch on it a little bit. I said, that's not how it works. I said, he'll get very angry again.
Yes.
And he did.
I saw that. Christina's trying to move everybody on, and Stevie is shouting, there's the delay.
Stevie has been very angry lately.
Yes, yeah.
Well, actually, you didn't realise, because it was chopped up for editing purposes. But long after we went to the break, he was still chuntering.
Wow.
Still chuntering.
He's got some issues at the moment, Stevie. Start, bench, drop. Ali, Guardiola, Klopp, Ancelotti.
Not as players?
No, as managers.
Wow.
Wow. Here we go.
Wow, wow, wow. I'm going to start, and this is just personal taste.
Okay, all right.
I'm going to start Jurgen Klopp.
Okay.
I'm going to bench Ancelotti, and I'm going to sell Guardiola.
Wow. Yeah.
But
Don?
Somebody that would match what I would do on the field, I suppose.
I'm going to start Ancelotti for what he's won. Incredible. Champions League's everywhere, every single country. I would bench Guardiola and I'd have to drop Jurgen Klopp.
Oof. Craig, do you want to play?
If it was here and now for a team, I would start Guardiola, I would bench Jurgen Klopp, and I would drop Ancelotti.
What?
Well, because if I was owning a football club right now, the Liverpool and City managers would be the highest up my list to get in to do the job. Right now.
Which big signing so far this summer, Don, do you think will flop and not live up to expectations?
Oh, remind me of the runners and riders. So we got Haaland.
So Richarlison, Gabriel Jesus, big one to Arsenal. Richarlison to Spurs. Haaland to Manchester City. Nunez to Liverpool.
Richarlison, because I don't think he'll play. Haaland will be a success, obviously. I think Nunez will
play,
Don.
They spent a lot of money on him.
He won't play, Dan. He won't be a starter. I heard.
Why? So Kulusevski will play ahead of him.
Where's Craig gone?
Listen, I heard Conte say the other day he brings me great options. Now that can mean a multitude of things, but it tells me that he's preparing for Champions League football, domestic football. I'll bet he doesn't start too many games in the Premier League. You can still be a success, of course you can. And I know the fee, 60 million. But out of all the guys that you've just mentioned, I think I'd have to go Richarlison.
Craig, where have you been? What have you got?
I was just saying what things I have in my little closet next to here in the bedroom. Right.
Hedgehog?
What's that?
Hedgehog?
But one with heart. I'm surprised the label's still on.
Yes. We're going to return it.
Did you buy that for Cheryl?
I didn't buy anything. How's about this one? My daughter got me this. How's about this? My daughter bought me this.
Right. Oh, there you go. Beautiful. Craig's very clean. Hence the angry letter on his computer.
Have you noticed that?
I did see that.
Well, you give some context, please.
So somebody made a mess of Craig's desk. Uh-huh. And then Craig responded by putting up this big sign saying, do not touch this computer or do not touch this desk. This is not a guest desk. Is that right?
They sat at my desk. They made a mess of all my tea bags. And they stole my earpiece, my IFP, right?
Yeah.
So I put a big sign up on my computer because I'm not really using it that much. And it just says, this is not a guest desk.
Yes, it does. And big,
anyway, here's
angry
the final
letters.
Piece. I just came across this. We got sponsored for the 1998 World Cup as a Scotland team. Can I do this? Oh, God. By that washing company.
Yeah,
do you remember
Ariel.
Them?
Yes.
Wow, anyway, clean as well.
Those commercials are famous. They go door to door, basically.
Okay.
And they would they would say, which is the whitest white and all
of
this.
Of course.
Yes.
Anyway, I came across this when I was going through my dad's house and I didn't even know it was there.
Oh.
There you go.
Isn't that nice?
There you go.
There you go.
See, we just get to know. This is what I'm saying.
I know.
The more he pulls out, the more we get to know about Craig.
I know. It's lovely, isn't it?
It
hearts on a hedgehog.
Now, the hearts on a hedgehog is
Well, it's a dichotomy.
Yeah.
It's a contradiction.
No, because but Craig's a prickly character.
Yeah, correct.
But then, full of love.
Correct. So you take their hearts with a prickly personality.
Don's like, I just want to go to bed.
Ah, this is not the Craig. This is not the Craig, aren't you?
No.
Oh, okay.
Is he prickly? Is he loving? Or can he be both at the same time?
I tell you, there's also 12 bottles of cider in there.
Perfect. There you go.
Everyone.
For all, Don, who was your favourite athlete growing up?
Do you know who I loved? I loved Carl Lewis.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, he was running against you this week.
He was. Yeah. That was him. That was one of the dads the other day. No, I did. I loved him. Everything about him. What was he? He was like 100 metres, 200 metres, long jump.
Carl Lewis.
Just elegant, like amazing.
Have you seen the 30 for 30? Was it 9.8?
Yes. Yeah, with Ben Johnson.
Oh, it's fantastic. Yeah. Really good. If you haven't seen that, watch that.
Have you seen one called The Race That Never Was? So check out, I can't remember what year it was, where Carl Lewis, Ben Johnson, the infamous race.
Yeah.
And there's a program on it called The Race That Never Was that is worth a watch.
Did ESPN make it?
I think that may have been the 30 for 30.
That could be the 30 for 30.
We may be talking about the same thing.
Could be. Listen, we need to take this program seriously. Come on.
Right. Craig, who was your favourite athlete? Did you have a favourite athlete growing up?
I suppose I did. I used to love Bjorn Borg. Remember him?
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
Tennis player. Ed Moses?
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
What about you, Ali?
Nah.
Michael Jordan. Yeah. Emmitt Smith for the Dallas Cowboys.
Right.
And of course, Tiger Woods.
Yeah. Growing up, though, was that?
What do you mean growing up, right? I'm not as old as this, guys.
Don's already in training now for the next parents' race.
You're not wrong.
There it is. That is it. We are done. Thank you very much. Wow.
He'll be running the parents' race when he's 65.
Great granddad by then, Don. ESPN SC back on your screens tomorrow. Oh, I just want more memorabilia from Craig's house.
The hedgehog's got to make a comeback.
Oh.
Did you know less than 10% of Americans own an e-bike? Here's why that should change. Studies show e-bike owners actually end up exercising more, plus getting outside more. If you're looking for a balanced lifestyle and everyday adventures, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes. They're the number one selling e-bike brand in America. Their bikes are typically foldable, pre-assembled, and have serious range up to 150 miles on some models. Check them out today at lectricebikes.com and add some more adventure to your week. That's LECTRIC ebikes.com.